So this is session 4 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. Today is Thursday, March 12th, 2009. And so far on the call, we have Paul, LaToya, Stacy, and Angie. And today's call is about finishing up career values, like we talked about last time. And our next step is defining your career vision. Okay, so I like to let people know that so that if they're listening to the audio, you know which audio you're on and what we're talking about. All right, so how is everybody doing?
Okay.
Yeah? Excited about career values, hopefully. We'll talk about this a little bit today. Stacy and I were checking in. I just got back from my vacation yesterday. We were skiing in Colorado and took my 15-month-old son with us on a very long flight, which was quite interesting, to say the least. And I heard a beep. Who's just joined us?
That would be Michael.
Welcome, Michael.
I think I'm a little later. I might be on time. I was on a video conference with the Romanians.
Oh, just, yeah. Not a big deal, I'm sure.
Well, we forgot about daylight savings time.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have daylight savings time.
Yeah, some countries don't do it. I don't understand the whole daylight savings time thing myself. All right, and I heard another beep. Who else has joined us?
It's Alexandra.
Yay, hi.
Hi.
Okay, welcome. Okay, so we're going to introduce you in just a second, Alexandra. And actually, guys, I forgot to mention Kelly called me earlier, and she's feeling sick today, so she is not going to be on the call. So we've got everybody that is supposed to be here today. Okey-doke. All right, so the first thing I want to do today is introduce Alexandra so that you guys can welcome her and get to know her for just a couple of minutes. Then, Paul, I wanted you to bring up the Book of Lists and just talk about that for a second as a resource for people, okay? We are going to go over career values and what you guys discovered there and how that was helpful for you in identifying your ideal career. And like I said earlier, today is also about defining your career vision. And so I'd like to be able to do a visualization with you guys today in order to develop that career vision. And let's just see how much time we have, because we might do that at the very end, and then you'll start to debrief it with your buddies, and we can talk about it more next time. Okie doke?
Okay.
All right. So at first, Alexandra, you guys probably got an email, hopefully, from Rachel introducing two new members to our group. And so Alexandra is here today. Jane is unable to join the group because between the time that she signed up and just this past week, her mother became very ill. So she is not going to be joining the group. So one of the things we need to do is figure out sliding Alexandra into one of the existing buddies so that she can have a buddy and maybe just pair up with two other people, okay? So Alexandra, just give us let's see, tell us what your current job is, okay? Tell us why you are here in the group. And what we had everybody do on the first call was give us your favorite ice cream and why, okay? So dive right in for me.
Okay, well, I'm a manager and waitress at a restaurant in downtown Atlanta. I graduated from college 2 years ago, and I'm looking to continue my education and eventually go overseas to work for the UN or a like organization. And let's see, I guess the favorite ice cream is next.
Yes.
I would have to say mint chocolate chip.
And why is that?
It's creamy and crunchy and delicious. It's just great.
Okay, good, good. All right. So does anyone have any questions for Alexandra? All right, good. So let's give her a warm welcome. Say welcome, Alexandra.
Welcome, Alexandra.
Woo-hoo, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alexandra is a great addition to the group. She's incredibly positive, upbeat, and ready to go and committed. So just so you guys know, I brought her up to speed with where we are in the group, so she's going to be able to dive right in today. Okay? So welcome. Thank you for joining us. And let me ask while we're here, while we're on the topic, who is there anyone here, I guess Kelly's not here, so this is kind of hard to do, who's willing to have Alexandra join and pair up with you guys? Any one of the buddies that's willing to take on a third person for the moment?
I know Kelly's not here, but I think it's fine, Stacy, on my end. We can double-check with Kelly.
Okay. Stacy, thanks a lot. I think you guys would be a great fit. Okay, so I will handle doing introductions that way and checking in with Kelly. So email, writing Alexandra, joining with Stacy and Kelly. Perfect.
Fabulous.
Thank you very much. So, Paul, we haven't heard from you in a while because you have a new baby, or actually it was the last call you weren't on.
He's a month old now. Can you believe it?
He's a month? Yeah, I can. It goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
So he's walking and talking already.
He speaks German.
Oh, good. Quite impressive.
You're doing advanced calculus now?
Oh, good, good. So you have been doing a lot of work. So, Paul, tell us about the Book of Lists, and remember the bottom line here, but, like, what that is and why it's a good resource.
The Book of Lists, I'm originally from Detroit, and they have something similar up there called the Crane's Book of Lists through Crane Communications, but the Atlanta Book of Lists is published by the Atlanta Business Chronicle.
Okay.
And it's about 250 pages. And what they do is they take just about every sector of the economy and rank, like, for example, they'll rank what are the best mortgage brokers, what are the best insurance companies, best law firms, what are the fastest growing privately held companies in Atlanta. And they give you name, address, website, phone number, and then they give a little bit of data about the company as far as, you know, what their specialty is, who their managing partners are, et cetera. And I've used this, just started to use this the past week or so to try to identify companies in my job search that would be appropriate, you know, candidates for employment, et cetera.
So it's kind of like a ranking of the best places to work in different industries.
You bet.
Okay. All right. So for you guys, thanks, Paul. That's awesome. I remember in Chicago, Crane's, it was Crane's Communication also. It was Crane's, what was it? In Chicago, whatever, Crane's was the business publication there, and every year they would do that kind of ranking. Paul, is this something to purchase, or can you get it online?
Apparently you can get this at Borders, but I purchased mine online, and it was, I want to say, $55-$60. And I went to the Atlanta Business Chronicle website to purchase that.
Okay. So I'm going to see if I can find that, and I'll email you guys the website. I think that's going to be useful a little bit later on, or now if you're, you know, doing research into different industries. It's a great way to also find places that you can do informational interviews with to learn about, you know, what this industry is like. And so my assumption is that for major metropolitan areas, everybody is going to have this kind of list. So for, like, Kelly in particular, who's somewhere else, you know, that's something she could look in Detroit, for example.
Can I just say something really quick?
Yeah.
The thing that I found really helpful about the book was that, for example, my background is in banking, and a lot of the banks have hiring freezes, but it's allowing me to think outside of the box at looking at other, maybe companies that sell to banks or companies that have products or services that they look for bankers, maybe a software company, or and I found quite a few that are like that.
Yes.
So it's been really helpful for me to step outside of the banking industry and look at other industries I never even really thought of.
Yeah, that would need your expertise.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect, Paul. Thank you for bringing that up. That's awesome. Is that helpful to everyone?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To know that resource list exists. There is no one huge, I wish there was, website out there that lists every single job that exists in the world. It just doesn't, you know, it's just not there. And people ask me this all the time, like, if I know, you know, kind of what I want to do, how do I know how to match that up with a potential job? And the way to do it is, you know, what Paula is saying, is to look at things like the Book of Lists. There's also a U.S. Department of Labor. They have an employment, what is it, a statistic employment outlook handbook, and I'll send you guys that too. That's a place to look as well. But it's basically through using these resources as well as reaching out to people to do informational interviews. That's how you find out more about different industries and what kind of jobs exist in those industries. Okay, so thank you, Paul, for bringing that up. So one of the last things I wanted to talk about today before we jump into successes and challenges and talking about career values, and Stacy, this is something that when you talking about being realistic last time, it made me think about this because I think this is a big challenge for people looking to change jobs and identify their ideal career is how do you balance being practical and realistic with the dreaming and the thinking out of the box, because we have to do both here, and it's very easy for people to, you know, lean too far in one direction or the other. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that for just a second and get your thoughts. So how do you all see, and anyone jump in here with your ideas, how do you see where you draw the line or navigating the balance between positive thinking and, you know, trying something new and the dreaming, what can I do for an ideal career, with being practical? How do you think you balance that?
Well, this is Alexandra. I think that what I do is I take it one step at a time and I say, okay, this is my ultimate dream, which is going overseas and doing all this stuff. What's the first possible step that I can do right now? You know, like, even if it's really, really small, just researching stuff online, what do I need for education? What are the schools around here that I could possibly look into?
And what next step can you take to kind of make it practical and tangible right then?
Well, right now, I guess the next step for me would be taking the GRE.
Okay, good. So for you...
so I can get into grad school.
Okay.
So then I can...
So that's perfect. Thanks for diving right in, Alexandra. So for you, it's like, okay, the dream is out here. And what are the, like, practical, tangible next steps I need to take to get there? But seeing it as taking it step by step so that it's not so overwhelming. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. Perfect. What else do you guys think? How do we balance this dreaming and thinking out of the box with being practical? And remember that last time what we talked about, what Stacy brought up was, yeah, you're not going to go be a millionaire writing for a blog necessarily. That's not realistic. So I think this is a really important question. What else would you guys say? How do you balance the two?
I think that I was going to say something.
Go for it, Paul.
That you could actually have two plans. One would be your ideal career that you want to pursue, and then have a what I would say your practical day-to-day, this is what I need to pay the bills.
Yes.
And you have actually two things that you're working on. One is, okay, I'm going to do this job even though I don't really like it, but I know it's going to pay the bills. But in the meantime, I'm going to work towards getting to where I want to be.
Perfect.
As far as more education or more, you know, skills training or...
Yep, and that's after hours or on the weekends or whatever it is. So you're doing both simultaneously, but making sure the practicality is in place.
Right.
Love it, Paul. Thank you. I heard somebody else.
This is Angie, and it's similar to Paul. It's for me finding out what I need to stay financially stable while during this process and establishing, like, what is the base amount of salary I would need to sort of keep that stability so I can kind of dream and see what the next step would be.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. So knowing what your base needs to be and having a financial plan for that. Great, Angie, that's perfect. Anybody have any other ideas? I'm wondering if this is helpful for you guys, too, because I know that, you know, with individual clients, I see this all the time where they're like, sometimes they get practical too soon and they're too focused on that and it doesn't allow them to dream. And some people dream too much and they don't pay attention to the practical. So anybody else have any other ideas? I think these are really good ones. The thing that I would say, I'm trying to think of how to describe it, is thinking, you have to think positively and be focused on how you can make something happen, because the positive thinking and focusing there, it helps you identify opportunities, okay? It's kind of like if you suddenly decide one day, okay, I'm going to buy a new car, and I've decided I want to get a Volkswagen Beetle, okay? I don't even know if they call them that anymore, but just go with me. And whereas before, you know, before you decided you wanted to buy this car, you never saw any of them on the road, right? But then all of a sudden, because you made this decision, you see a ton of them. Has anybody experienced that or something similar?
Mm-hmm.
Like where all of a sudden you notice a ton of people that, like when I was pregnant, I never noticed pregnant people before, but when I did, I felt like the whole world was pregnant, right? Okay?
At least one half of it, right?
Exactly. So it's the same in this situation, and this is how positive thinking and focus works, is that when you are focused on your dream and you're thinking out of the box and you're keeping a positive mental attitude, you're going to notice more opportunities, just like you notice more pregnant people, okay? Whereas if you were not doing that, something might come your way, and you might not take advantage of it because you're not seeing it. Or you're not seeing it as an opportunity because you're so focused on the negative or why this can't happen. But at the same time, the balance here is to be realistic. And so if a client came to me, for example, who was 4'5" and said, well, I want to be a pro basketball player, we'd have a problem. Okay? And we'd need to look at, okay, for you, say he was a guy, say, okay, dude, you know, what are the things about that you like, and how can we find another way for you to live out that type of passion? Because that's just, it's not realistic, okay? So the thing is that you have to do a balance of both and realize when, you know, you can keep the positive thinking, but be practical and realistic at the same time and just know the difference, okay? So is this helpful for you guys? Were you thinking about this at all, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any other questions or comments about the topic? Because it's a really important one, and I want to make sure we answer any questions you have. Does it make sense what we're saying?
This is Paul. That's one of the areas I really struggle with.
How so?
It's just the negativity. I mean, if you turn on the news and read, and part of it's probably just the industry that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
the turmoil that's going on, it's just easy to be influenced by that.
Yeah, I think
mm-hmm.
especially these days with the news and the economy and everything. So it's not about sticking your head in the sand and pretending like reality isn't reality, because that's definitely not the way to go. But if you notice, like to use you, Paul, as an example, if you notice yourself thinking negatively as a result of it, then there's a problem. And, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like behaving or making decisions out of fear or anxiety, that's a cue that something's wrong and off, because you never want to make a decision out of fear.
Okay.
Like if you're sitting there saying, I'm trying to think of how to differentiate for you. If you're sitting there saying, okay, well, I'm just going to go get, you know, this other job because there are no jobs out there in banking. Well, do you know that for sure, that there are no jobs out in banking? Well, no, probably not 100%. Now, if you've been looking for a year and you haven't found any jobs in banking, okay, then that's a fact, right? And we know this. So it's kind of like, you need to notice when your emotions can kind of be a guide for you. When you're starting to get into fear or anxiety, and making decisions from there, that's not a good thing. You want to make decisions out of a sense of I can make this work or I can make it happen while being practical at the same time. Like if it's time to pay the bills and you just need to go get a job, go get a job. That's fine. Does that help a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so does anybody have any other questions or comments about this, the balancing the practical and the being positive? Anything else? Okay, so the three main tips we got today was the taking it step by step, having two plans, an ideal plan and a backup plan, and working on both at the same time, and having a plan to remain financially stable, so knowing what your budget is and what you need to live on and how you're going to handle that while you do the dreaming. Okay. All right, so let's move to successes and learning and challenges. So anyone have a success or a big learning they want to share from homework that you did last time or anything else?
This is Angie. I think one of my big learnings is that the current position I'm in is not really in line with my values, and I can just see specifically where that doesn't match up.
Woo-hoo! I mean, woo that you now know, boo that it's not a fit.
Exactly.
But that's why we're here. So, Angie, give us one example of how your current position doesn't fit with a value.
I need to feel like I believe in the product or service
mm-hmm.
of my organization or my division, and I don't feel like it's really in line with what is kind of practical and, you know, what I value. Not that it's a judgment, but I just would prefer to be in an environment where it's more in line with what I value.
Okay, perfect. Good. All right, so it sounds like you got some more clarity about your values, Angie, because you had emailed me. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Anyone else have a success or a learning they want to share? And then we'll move to challenges. Going once, going twice. Okay, so any challenges or questions that you guys had from last time or anything else about career stuff you've been thinking about? Questions or challenges?
This is Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
One challenge that I have is narrowing down my values.
Okay.
Trying to see what careers those values are a part of.
Okay.
Along with one of my big values is, I guess, a career advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the industry that I'm in, the credit union industry, doesn't necessarily believe in career advancement. They believe in tenure.
Okay.
And that's a big issue for me.
Okay. And so how is that – so tell me what your question is, because you said first narrowing down your values, but it sounds like you know what it is.
It seems like I have a lot of values that I look at, and I'm like, that's what I'm looking for out of a career.
Yeah.
And narrowing them down to – I guess finding that ideal career.
Okay, so how you translate your values into the ideal career.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not, don't think that, Michael, based on the career values exercise that you're supposed to know exactly what it is, because we're still at the identifying general aspects of it, okay? So if somebody, so from knowing what your career values are specifically, what you need to do is look at your careers to consider list. And, like, you know, one of the things that you're thinking about is entrepreneur owning an entertainment venue, right?
Yes.
So look at your career values and say, okay, so is doing that, would that be a match? Because it sounds like with credit union, for example, it wouldn't be a match because career advancement isn't one of their priorities. That they operate on a tenure basis, right? So you need to look at your career values in terms of your careers to consider first, and that'll give you something to latch on to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So do that for me, and then send me an email and let me know what other questions you have, and we can flush it out a little bit more if we need to. Okay.
I think it's just my frustration with the larger credit unions than like a medium to smaller credit union.
Okay, so some of the smaller ones might be okay.
Yes.
And that's where, that's perfect. So under careers to consider, if you've got credit union there, to get more specific, you would need to say, okay, smaller credit union, because it would honor that value. So that's how it helps you narrow it down.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay, so within your careers to consider, one of the things that your values helps you do is it can help you be more specific about each one. Like, I can work at a credit union, but it has to be small. Or I could be a writer, but I don't want to be a freelance writer. I want to work for a place so that I have a steady income. See what I'm saying? If one of your values would be financial stability. Okay? I heard somebody else talking when Michael was, too. Did somebody else have a challenge or question?
Yes, Stacey, I was going to say something about this particular homework assignment. I mean, at first, just kind of tackling it, I found that it was very similar to making the job list of have-to-haves or wants.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just was looking at it right. So, you know, I created this list with what I thought were values, but I don't know, I kind of just felt like I was repeating maybe some things from my have-to-have career.
So with your, that can happen because what may have happened for you, Stacey, is you may have already identified values when you first did the must-have and like-to-have, but you just didn't know they were values. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So with values, the thing that you need to keep in mind is, number one, your values really, they ought to go, your career values, they need, most of them need to go on your must-have list, or at least, you know, the majority of them, because fulfillment at work and in a job is really important. And so the thing that you now know that is a little bit different from doing the must-have and like-to-have is why these things are important for you, that this is a value and this would be fulfilling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So did you come up with anything else? Were all of your values already listed on your must-have and like-to-have, or did you come up with any other ones?
I don't know. I think they're all kind of maybe there, maybe versed a little bit differently, but I think they're all kind of there.
Okay. And did you get specific with each value and say what it means in terms of a job for you?
I think so.
Okay. All right, good. What's so funny? You're not sure?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I think so.
Send me your list of career values so I can look over them and give you some feedback, okay?
Okay.
I think that'll help. All right, good. So any other questions or challenges? All right. So when you all looked at your careers to consider based on your values, did anything change? Like, let's give me an example. Somebody give me an example of careers they're considering. And when you defined what your values were, like something, oh, yeah, this would be a really good job for me to consider, or, ooh, I need to rethink this one or take it off the list. Like Michael's example was a credit union, but smaller. Anybody else have a kind of like, I don't want to say an aha moment, like it has to be huge, but like, oh, okay, this would be a fit for me. Give me one example. Oh, did somebody say something? I heard sigh or maybe something. So are you quiet because you can't really remember, or are you thinking?
I'm quiet because I haven't had much sleep.
Okay. And you've been talking to Romanians for an hour.
I'm quiet, Stacey, because my careers to consider list is still minimal to non-existent. So
okay.
Hard for me to make a comparison.
Did you put universities as a possible?
Yeah.
Okay. Send me that, too. I think that'll help, Stacey, to have both your values and careers to consider.
Okay.
To help me flesh it out a little bit more and get some ideas. So did you guys, I mean, was values helpful, or are you kind of like, oh, that was dumb?
It was helpful for me. This is Angie, but I think it took a lot more time and reevaluation than I thought it would, but I feel like the results are very helpful.
Okay.
It's just kind of a part of the process.
Okay. So it took more time on your part in talking to your buddy?
I think it took more time for me to really evaluate, get to what are sort of the critical values.
Gotcha. To really narrow it down.
Yeah.
Okay. And what helped you do that the most?
You had asked us to go back and just check, I guess, the original process of the must-haves and like-to-have and careers to consider. So I took all the values and tried to imagine how they would fit in those careers to consider. So I was a little more specific about what components of those careers might work for me.
Okay, so Angie, will you give us one example so everybody can see?
Like belief in the product or service, and I had listed health and wellness. So I think belonging or that sense of acceptance within my work environment led me to feel like connecting with people, you know, offering health information or that kind of delivery would give me an opportunity to connect with people.
Okay.
At least for some part of it. So it painted a little clearer picture of how that might look for me.
Okay. So
and although,
go ahead.
And although I'm not clear that I would want to be, say, a health educator or some type of advisor or counselor, I think that's a good consideration for me.
Okay. Good. So instead of, like, creating pamphlets or the material, you would want to have connecting with people as part of your job.
I think both, but I don't think before I realized that that kind of people connection was as important to me, but I think I need to have part of that.
Okay, good. Thanks for sharing, Angie. Does that help you guys see how values can help you clarify a little bit further? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so does anybody have any other questions or challenges with values?
This is Alexandra.
Yep.
Again, and one of the challenges that I had is realizing that my values have shifted from what they used to be, and I don't really like the way that it's going. Like, it's definitely more negative. As Paul said he was getting bogged down by the negativity of the economy, and that's bogging me down too because, like, when I listed my current values of what I've been thinking about the 3 months, one of them, none of the main ones is money, and I'm not really concerned about future money. I'm not really interested in having a lot of things or, you know, just being financially secure, but that's what I'm concentrating on right now.
Okay,
you know?
So here's what's happening, Alexandra, is there's a difference between current values and decisions you've made recently and your ideal values. And so remember how we did that exercise about, I think for you it was graduation for you and everyone was proud of you and that kind of thing, right? So what you need to do, your ideal values are ones that come from that peak experience that we talked about.
And not necessarily recent.
No, right.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens to us is we're not always living our lives according to our ideal values, and that's part of why we're unfulfilled and frustrated. So that's the difference. The current ones are ones we're trying to maybe get rid of if they're not working for you, and you want to focus on the ideal. Okay?
Okay.
That's the difference. Thanks for asking. Okay, so something that you said, Alexandra, this is the final thing I want to say about values, and even though we're not going to focus on these in upcoming sessions, if you guys have questions about them, let me know and send me an email. So the last 3 points about values that I want to make is, number one, kind of like you said, Alexandra, that your values are going to change over time, and so know that you need to continue to be aware of them. That your ideal values, what they are now, they could change in 5 years. They could change in 10 years when you have a child or you move to a different location or whatever it is. Okay, so your values can change over time. And you need to continuously update this list and be aware of what they are based on how your life situation has changed. number two point about values is your job, your ideal job, it does not have to honor all of your career values like we talked about last time, okay? But your ideal job can't step on any of them. So remember how I gave you guys my example of health and wellness is one of my values, and it's my health and health of the environment, right? So even though I don't want to go work in a recycling plant, because like I said, that's not my skill set and I'm not interested in it, I can't work for, say, an oil company or a place that tends to pollute the environment, because that would step on that value for me. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even though a job, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, this is part of why you put it on your values on your must-have and like-to-have list. The ones that are on your must-have, those jobs, it needs to honor all of those values. But at the very least, a job can't step on those values and kind of dishonor them, or else it's going to be a problem for you, okay? And values, so remember on the career model, in the very center, there's that circle of fulfillment. That's homework assignment number one, is to put your career values into that middle circle of the model. And the circle is kind of small, so you might need to just write them underneath or draw a line to them, okay? Because remember, values are about fulfillment on the career model. You guys remember that? Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so any last questions about career values before we move on?
Can you repeat the homework assignment again, please?
Yeah. So homework number one is on your career model, in the middle circle, you put your career values in there where it says fulfillment. Because that's what values is about, is fulfillment for you. Okay? All right. So today we are continuing on with the fulfillment piece of the model, where we're looking at your ideal day and your career vision, okay? So let me just think about how to prep this for a second. So what I want you guys to do for me for a second is just put all of your stuff down, your paper, your pens, everything else, okay? Because we're going to do a visualization, which is like a guided meditation, okay? And have you guys done anything like this before, a visualization? Has anyone here done it? Where you're being walked through picturing something? Was that LaToya?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so here's what I need you guys to do, is don't talk during this time. Just remain silent and go with your gut responses. So I'm going to walk you through a visualization, which is like a guided meditation. I'm going to ask you questions for you to look at and think about. It's okay if you don't get answers to all the questions. That's fine. And I want you to listen to your intuition here, okay? You need to go with your gut instinct and the first response that comes to you. So everybody just get into a comfortable position for me and allow your eyes to close or just focus on the floor or the ceiling. And begin to focus your awareness on your breath, breathing in and breathing out again, breathing in easily and effortlessly, then breathing out. Each breath allows you to become more relaxed and comfortable. And any outside sounds you may hear during this visual will only allow you to become more relaxed and comfortable. A reminder of how good it is to leave the noise and stress of the outside world and journey into the quiet and peace of your own inner world. As you become more relaxed, you find yourself becoming more quiet and peaceful. Keep taking deep breaths. And today we are going to picture your ideal day at work. What would an ideal day at work look like for you? Start with the location. Where are you going to work? Would it be a big city or a smaller area? Would you be working downtown or in the suburbs? Close to home, or even working at home, or at an office? What is your office space like? Is it large with a window? Does it have privacy with a door? Or anything else, so imagine the location. Next, in an ideal day at work for you, think about the people. What would the people be like at your workplace? Think about your boss, your peers, and your clients, if you have any. What is their personality? What are their values? Just notice here what keywords come to mind. Now think about your tasks, the things you're responsible for. What tasks do you work on throughout the day? Are you responsible for organizing or administering projects, or more creative tasks? Are you working on something that's tangible, like a magazine or report, or something more intangible, like giving someone advice or leading meetings? What are your primary responsibilities? And what skills are you using to do these? Now think about alone time versus time with other people. In your ideal day, are you usually with other people and interacting with them? Or do you have a lot of down or alone time? What balance of this do you want to have? Would it be 50-50 alone time versus other time, 60-40, or something else? Next, think about your schedule in your ideal day. What would that be like? Is it the standard 9-to-5? Or a flexible schedule where you can come early if you want to? Or do you set your own hours completely? Are you usually in the office or outside the office meeting with people, or a combination of both? Now think about the corporate culture, the company culture. What would you want that to be like? Is it more formal and serious, or laid back and fun, or somewhere in between? What is the type of culture that would best suit you? Now think about your role at the company. What is your role at the place where you work? Are you a leader who inspires people, or the workhorse who gets things done? What do people come to you for help with or advice on at work? And what would you want people to say about you at your office? Now think about the place that you work for. What is the vision or mission of that place? Or for your company, if you own your own company, why are they in business? And what are their values? And now think about what feelings you would feel during your ideal day. So if you picture your ideal day at work, from the beginning of the day when you start work through lunch to the end of the day when you're completing your work tasks, how would you feel? And finally, if your vision of your ideal day was a piece of music, what song would it be and why? And if your vision was something from nature, like a tree or the ocean or something like that, what would that be? What would be the metaphor there? Now take in one last big, deep breath for me, because you have looked at a lot here in a short period of time. Know that you can come back to this visualization anytime you want to review or enhance what you saw, especially if you didn't get clear answers to some of the questions. Know that once you open your eyes and start writing and debrief this with your buddy, things will become even clearer to you. In a moment, I'm going to count from 3 to 1. At the count of 1, you'll be refreshed and alert and able to remember everything you wish of this inner journey. When you open your eyes, remain silent for a minute to jot down the big things you want to remember about what you saw here. 3, coming back to present time, becoming more alert and refreshed. 2, stretching your body, feeling the ground beneath you. And 1, eyes open, refreshed, and alert. So go ahead and pick up your pen and make a few notes. I'll give you a moment. Do you guys hear an echo, or is it just me?
There's a slight echo.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Since we're close to the end of the call, I'm just going to leave it, because otherwise I'd have to hang up and call back in. So go ahead and make a note. I'll give you just a couple more seconds here. All right, guys, so you can keep writing as we talk for a minute. So how was this? So first of all, how was it for you? Did you see something? Was it like, what are we doing? What did you guys think?
I thought it was very useful.
Is that Angie?
Uh-huh.
How come?
I felt like I was able to picture pretty clearly what I would want. I wasn't sure in the beginning if that would happen, but I think I feel like I have a pretty clear idea.
So give me one example of something you saw.
That I like my week to be kind of contained within the 9 to 5 and know that there's a time when I'm at work and there's a time when I'm not. So that kind of definition, and that I could see myself scheduling times, meeting with people throughout
okay.
the day.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, good, Angie. Thanks. All right, anybody else? Let's hear from one more person. Great, saw lots of stuff. Didn't see so much.
Well, I found one thing that I've noticed every time I go to the doctor is I have a hard time relaxing and slowing down.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it was hard to do it in the first place?
Yes.
Okay, so I think you're going to need to practice this on your own and maybe do it with Paul on the phone. I will send you guys the questions that we went over today, so you'll have everything, okay? So, Michael, for you, I mean, this is when you slow down, this is when you can listen to your intuition more. So it's going to be important for you to develop that muscle and be able to do that so that you can listen to your gut instinct. It doesn't mean you have to be half asleep, but to just slow down and listen to your intuition. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I just noticed that, like, you know, anytime I go to a doctor, it's like if they're checking on my knees, I can't relax.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know if that's how I'm wired, is I'm just always amped up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
move forward.
It could be, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you want to make sure that you're also able to slow down so you can listen to your gut instinct about what's right for you, because a lot of times the answers to career questions like this come from your gut. They're not things that you just sit and think about, because if you could just sit and think about it, you wouldn't need me, right? So a lot of this is about listening to your gut instinct about what's going to work for you and what isn't. So practice with that this week, Michael, slowing down a little bit and doing this visual, and just maybe do it for like 2 minutes and then stop. And just stretch it out further and further and see if you can do it, okay? And let me know how it goes.
All right, it's just the wrong month to do it in.
I know. Just do your best. And because I'm going to send you these questions, you can also sit down and just think about them and write it out too, and that might help you as well. Instead of doing the visualization, writing and journaling might be the way to go.
All right.
Okay? Does anyone else have any other questions? I'm going to give you the homework to do with this. Any other challenges with the visualization, though? Did the rest of you see a few things, at least?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I like to get feedback from people, so. Stacy, how about you?
Me?
Do you see anything helpful?
I think it might help me more with the journaling portion of it.
Okay. Mm. Okay, so. For anyone, that's good. For anybody here that had a harder time picturing, if you're not as visual of a person, journal and write down the answers and see what comes out from there. Okay? Because for some people, journaling is a better tool to use, and that's totally fine. Okay? All right. So here's what I want you to do for homework. So in addition to putting the values in the middle circle of the career model where fulfillment is, okay, is to debrief this visualization with your buddy. And for Stacy and Michael, who are going to write it out first and then talk about your answers with your buddy. And compare what you saw, add those to your must-have and like-to-have lists. Okay, that's number one. And number two, everything that you saw here, what does that mean in terms of your careers to consider? So do you need to add to the list? Do you need to change something or fine-tune it? Okay, so, for example, if you want to be a writer, LaToya, that's something you're thinking about, but you saw yourself working at home, does that mean that you want to be a freelance writer or just that you get to work from home for a company that is maybe located somewhere else but they allow you to do telecommuting or something like that, okay? And the last two questions I asked are kind of funny, think-out-of-the-box one. If it was a piece of music, what song would it be? And the thing from nature, the metaphor from nature. That's just to help you think out of the box and get creative with this. And have some fun with it, too. Okay? So debrief this with your buddy, and as you do it, if you have any questions for me about what anything means, send me an email. That's why I'm here. So if you're struggling with anything, let me know. What's the biggest thing that you're taking away from today? Let's hear from two people, and then we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
This is Latoya. In the beginning when you told us to think positive and focus and think outside the box, and this will allow for more opportunities.
Cool. Thanks, Latoya.
Welcome.
This is Paul. I was going to say, having a clear mental picture about what it is that you're shooting for.
And that's what you got from the visualization?
Yes.
Awesome. Good. Okay, guys, if you need anything, let me know. Remember, I'm here. This is what I'm here for. So if you have any questions or an exercise isn't working for you or you feel like, you know, you want to know why we're doing something, always ask. That's why I'm here. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so have a great week. Good luck, and I will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
All righty.
Okay, bye. Thanks.